Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Christopher Scalia, the editor of Scalia Speaks, Reflections on Law, Faith.
I'm doing well, thank you.
It is so good to hear your voice, and we want to talk about the book that you've edited called Scalia Speaks, Reflections on Law, Faith, and a Life Well Lived about your dad. And Christopher, I'm thinking, you know, nine kids in a house and some of the things I've read about your family remind me of such a throwback, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, but what was it like to sit around at that dinner table and argue salient points with your parents?
Well, it was fun. We didn't always argue salient points. I think a lot of people are under the impression that every dinner was like a salon conversation where we were, disputing the finer points of one debate or another. But you know, we did talk politics and religion a little bit, but mostly it was just fun. We talked about all sorts of things. We talked about television, or of course, how our days were and what each of us did, and told jokes and told stories. It was fun, and I really miss. I enjoyed it growing up. My father always made the point of being home for dinner, which was hard for him. It's easy to spend, when you have a job like that, to spend all day at the office. But he made a point of being home with us and saying grace before every dinner, and kind of really left an impression on me about the importance of spending that kind of time.
Did you ever have to give any kind of a persuasive presentation to your parents about something that you really wanted in life, whether it would be to break curfew or take the car or whatever, that turned into a very good discussion for you and your parents?
I can think of a couple instances. One is when I tried to convince my dad that he would like a band I liked. I think it was Radiohead at the time. And I was trying to, he liked opera and classical. There was no way I was actually going to persuade him to listen to them. But I summoned up some arguments appealing to his interest in sophisticated musicianship and fine lyrics and things like that. He never did eventually listen to Radiohead, but it was a fun argument to make. And then, of course, like any kid, I would try to talk my way out of having to do work. Usually with my dad, it would be work around the yard. And I never convinced him to let me, or rarely convinced him to let me off the hook there. The only time I finally made my case was when we discovered I was very allergic to bees, and the only time that I ever got stung was when I was doing yard work. So that got me off the hook finally.
Yeah, I read something that you wrote about you didn't feel he had time to mow the lawn and you wanted him to do it. And he said something to the effect of, don't you think a Supreme Court justice also has things to do?
I had a cross-country meet, and he wanted me to mow the yard. So he did it, and he made me feel guilty by reminding me that, he had other things to do too.
When you were setting out to put together this work, which has all kinds of memories that you've assembled, speeches that he gave or reflections that you have, how difficult was it to limit a book? I'm sure publishers only want a book of X amount of a size. And how did you manage to get that put together?
Well, that really was the hardest part. We read close to 200 speeches. My co-editor was Ed Whalen, who clerked for my father. And there were so many great speeches about so many different topics, including a few surprising ones. The hardest part was choosing which to include. But we wanted to just select speeches we thought that general readers, not legal specialists, not only legal specialists would enjoy. And so that was kind of like the guiding framework of how to go about deciding which ones not to include. But we ended up including 4 dozen speeches, so there's plenty of variety in here, and I think something to interest everybody, but I think a lot of people will be interested by all the speeches. They're really high quality throughout.
We know that the court sometimes seems very, very polarized, divided, whatever you want to say. But I think there's really something in this court that could be a lesson to other people in the country who often feel divided and polarized, and that is the relationship between your dad and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, an unlikely pair, to say the least, right?
Yeah, that's right. They didn't agree much politically or legally, but they had been friends since really the early 80s when they were first on a court together. And they had that friendship up to the end of his life. She wrote the foreword to this book, really grateful she did that. And my father delivered a roast for her when he was on the Supreme Court and she was still on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And it was very, very funny roast, but also very moving because he tells her how much he misses working with her and what a great colleague she was, not knowing that in a couple of years she would be back on the court with him. I think you're right. Their friendship is a testament and a reminder to all of us that there's more to life than politics, and it's possible to have very great friendships with people you disagree with. They focused on what they had in common, and they had more than enough in common to have a very long and enduring friendship.
Did you spend much time with her or any of the other justices? I mean, it's a strange situation because they're so high profile, but here you are as a younger guy and your dad's on the court. Did you manage to have any interaction with them? And is there somebody that stands out to you as a wonderful person or a great influence in your own life?
Well, I did spend some time with them at usually formal social occasions, maybe events at the courts or weddings. I invited her to my wedding. She wasn't able to make it, but she got us a very nice gift. And Justice Byron White lived in my neighborhood, and he was a great neighbor. I delivered his newspapers, and he never complained when we got in there late. And he gave me a nice graduation present for high school. And they were just all very nice to us, to my family, whenever I encountered them, and especially after my father's death. They were extraordinarily supportive and caring and concerned, and really a great help, in particular to my mother.
When we think about the work that your dad did, it obviously is so important because these decisions are watched very closely by a lot of people in the country. Can you recall a time when your dad was in his study at night, maybe struggling over something? Did he ever talk to you about this work or in the aftermath of a particular decision where he was maybe trying to explain to you why he came to a certain conclusion?
Yeah, well, I would ask him questions about cases after the opinions were delivered, if I didn't understand what he wrote or whoever wrote the opinion he sided with, if I didn't understand a point, I would just ask for clarification. He would never give me any new insights that people who are better at reading opinions would have gotten. But I did talk to him about things like that, and occasionally he would, really only a couple of times, he would ask me questions about certainly not what I would decide, but what I thought of a particular point. He would never, he couldn't tell us how he was going to vote. And certainly I don't think I ever had any influence in how he voted, but he was just kind of would occasionally try to pick our brains a little bit. For the most part, I tried not to, it's not that I avoided talking to him about the court, and I certainly did talk to him about his work a little bit, but we had so many other things to talk about apart from him. You know, there are nine of us, nine children and my mom. There were plenty of other topics for conversation. So I would say, you know, that was one of the things we just talked about the least.
Did you ever have a conversation with him where you disagreed with one of these decisions and said, you know, can you explain to me why? I mean, is that a fair question?
You know, I honestly don't remember a conversation like that. I found myself being siding with my father and his reasoning in every instance I can think of. There may have been an instance where I thought he was wrong, but I was, certainly wouldn't think that I knew better than him. You know what I mean? So, yeah, no examples of that come to mind.
When you look back at the loss of your dad, which was so sudden to people, I mean, he was older. I mean, he was 79, and that's older. But still, at the same time, he seemed so vital. And some of these individuals working on the courts just seem like, you know, there's no end in sight for them. And then, of course, it forced this very public searching for his replacement. And, of course, there was a lot of rancor on that because of the nomination under President Obama that was not acted upon. What was it like in the aftermath of your dad's death in these regards?
Well, I mean, obviously, the biggest effect, I'm aware that there were huge political repercussions, but for me and for my family, the personal consequences and the pain in that regard was very powerful and obviously what concerned us the most. He wasn't young. He was vital, but he wasn't in perfect health. So it was shocking to us. And I think the hardest thing was just not seeing him the last time, and not being able or not knowing when the last time I saw him would be the last time, and not really getting a chance to say goodbye to him. That was painful, and obviously I'm not the only child who's had to go through that, but that was the most painful part of it for me. And I'm still at the stage where, and I'm told this never really stops, I want to tell him something happens in my day, or I read something and I think, oh, Dad would love this, and I want to tell him, and I there's a split second where I forget that I won't be able to anymore. Little things like that are still pretty difficult.
What made you decide to put this work together? What was the driving force for you?
Well, I thought it was really important for as many people as possible to encounter my father's ideas and personality. So the legal ideas were obviously the most important, and this collection is a great opportunity for general readers, not just legal scholars, to understand my father's point of view and reasoning for being the kind of judge that he was. And beyond that, I thought people would just like to know more about him and his views on religion and just his understanding of the American founding, of what makes America a great country, and the things he enjoyed. This collection gives a lot of insights into his childhood, like the games and sports he played when he was growing up in Queens, and his pastimes like turkey hunting and things like that. So I saw it just as an important way to kind of establish his legacy and to help his ideas endure.
How's your mom doing, and does she like the book?
My mom is doing well. She's a very strong woman, and she has a lot of support from her friends and her many children and grandchildren. So it's one of the advantages of a big family, I think. Yeah, she likes the book. I think she likes it for one of the reasons I think a lot of people will like it is that my father's voice comes through very clearly in the speeches, and it's as if he's still speaking. It's a powerful experience.
Christopher Scalia, the editor of Scalia Speaks, Reflections on Law, Faith, and a Life Well Lived. And that last line, I think, strikes with us, because whenever somebody has a fantastic legacy, it is always great to honor it. So thanks for doing the show today. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you very much, Sue. I appreciate it. Thanks
sure
for your time.
Thing.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.